Glad to hear. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day and for life and health and strength, Lord. For each of the families that are represented here this morning and for those, Lord, that couldn't be here. I pray especially for Ling and Dr. Shang, and of course for Frank too. We're not forgetting Esther or Pat and Steve or the other folks that we minister to that get CDs and listen online. We pray you, Father, please, for these souls too and for the many souls that don't have the option of being out, having a wee bit of fellowship, but just lifting up praises and Lord, everything that church is for folks. I pray you, please, that you would remind your children of these things even as they sit at home. Bless our time together, Lord. Open our understanding of the scriptures, please. And wherever, Lord, someone is standing to preach the full counsel of the King James, Lord, the full counsel of it, I pray that you would bless and keep. Pray, Lord, you'd be one of our number, that you would minister to us this morning. We're not forgetting Stan and the folks in Bangor and Ed Bissett and the folks up in Temple Patrick. Our Lord, Pastor Hain, Pastor Asquith, Pastor Fox, Pastor Cosgrave, Lord, these and many, many more men, Lord, that we know, that love you, that will be or are right now standing up to bring a Bible message. Please, Lord, I pray you. Lord, we're not just done yet. The Holy Spirit's still roving to and fro across the earth. I pray you, please, that you would work on people's hearts and minds. Look after the folks on the road, Lord. Thinking on Stephen and Anne Marie, and Carol and Harry and Marie as well, especially for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, and very, very especially, Lord, for Sally at this time, for Kate, for Alan Leslie, for Pearl Hetherington, Lord, please, and for Eddie and Anne, and especially for their grandson, Mason, Lord. There are so many needs out there, Lord. Please use the leaflets, the tracts, the street preaching, Lord, old Sunday school lessons, Lord, old messages. Please reach people in these dark days before it's everlasting too late. But right now, Lord, I pray that you would find our prayers, our praises, our petitions, our time in your presence, and the preaching and teaching and reading of your word, Lord. We pray that it would all be acceptable in your sight. We just love you and thank you, Father. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to begin with 51 this morning. 51 in the big books. That is where we'll never grow old. We'll just remain seated as we sing. This morning. Well, in that case, you come on ahead, brother.
Morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, by the courtesy of Steve, I would say. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say of this brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thy fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with an adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman of lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, that thou shalt not swear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, or whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publican the same. But if ye salute your brother only, that what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen.
Thank you for that, Norma. That was Brother Steve suggesting. He keeps threatening to throw in to trip you up with some of those old Hebrew names, but I guess he was trying to wear you down today. Amen. Wish he could have him here to do it for himself, but
You tell them there you work.
Yes, indeed. Some excellent verses there. Best preaching in the world, those three chapters, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Four chapters, 5, 6, 7. And some of the verses actually that we will be referring to in our message. But amen, we appreciate that. I just want to remind everybody this morning to make sure you get yourself a wee prayer list. And Pat and Steve pass on their regards. They are thinking and praying for us continually. Please do continue to pray for Brother Steve. His legs are still giving him a lot of bother, and he's finding it difficult to sleep. So you know yourself how the days, things always look brighter after a decent night's sleep. Even if you're waking up groggy, it's good to know that you had your eyes shut for maybe 4 or 5 or 6 hours, but I don't think Steve's quite getting that. There's some nights he's only getting 1 or 2 and a cat nap and then throughout the day. So please do pray for him and Pat too. Pat has, she has things to do to help with Steve, and she's always up tending to him. So please do pray for that. Pray for Esther as well. We miss her. And Frank and Ling, we miss them as well. Please do pray for Carol and John and Stephen. And just looking at all the empty seats, I know, I think technically we're okay here, but it would be nice to see. Be nice if folks just got right with God, wouldn't it? It really would. But there is so much that people are afraid of in these days. There's a great little verse, 2 Timothy 1 and 6, that says, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So just keep your eyes on God. If you ever find yourself at a loose end, or I'm not saying befuddled, but you know what I mean, by your own problems. I have plenty that need praying for, so pray for me, but don't forget the likes of Pat and Steve and Esther that can't be out, and even Leonard as well. Ling, she would love to be here. She's going to aim to get out as soon as possible. But she was even saying she's not eating with Dr. Shang in the house at the moment. So she is wanting to be that careful. So please do pray for her as well. I was stuck in a house for like 3 months, 4 months before I could even get in behind the wheel of a car. And that was tough, just being in the house and just walking up and down the road. Now imagine being in the middle of a housing estate and not even able to use your whole house. So please do pray for Ling, if you would. There are a bunch of other prayer requests there. Don't just pray for the people's prayer requests, pray for the people as well. Don't forget Will's, boss's, family. Lost a daughter-in-law. That'd be about a fortnight ago now, or 10 days. Please do pray for Gemma's family, if you would. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's still up and about there. It's all there to do with the land, repairs on the building. Just pray for the cars. They haven't been looked at by a mechanic for well over a year, and they're still going. I hope they... Brother Stan used to be an awful man for buying bangers, and I used to joke that someday he would park his car, he would slam the door and the boot would fly up and the bonnet would fly up and the doors would fall off, because he would always be getting bangers, and then I would be getting calls to give him a lift because he was out of petrol. So he would joke about that. Thankfully that's not the church vehicles. They're still going strong. But I wouldn't wish any vehicle bother on anybody. The Bible says to pray about everything, be careful for nothing, and the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But just remember that. Did I mention the purchase of the land? Did I mention that? I don't. Keep praying for that. Haven't heard from anybody just yet. I am sure they are sitting tight in Edmonton Presbyterian. Do they even open at the moment? No. So please do pray for, I think the preacher's name's Robin, please do pray for him. And as well as that, we are commanded to pray for our leaders. We might not think they're worth much more than the change we have in our pockets, but
They have been allowed to be there by God, and in some cases they have been put there by man. Hopefully that people will learn from their lessons. Please do pray for Arlene Foster. She is in the position of so-called leading Northern Ireland. Please do pray for Boris Johnson. He is in the position of, in quotes, leading the UK. Nicola Sturgeon, whoever looks after Wales. I must actually look. Does anybody know who looks after Wales? Please pray for them as well. Do indeed pray for America. They are in dire straits right now. They need a lot of prayer. Whether you love him or you would like to wring his neck for him, we need to pray for Joe Biden and need to pray for the American people. Just because you're praying for someone doesn't mean you're praying for their well-being. We need to pray for people. Some people need to be uplifted. Some people need to be protected. Some people need to be encouraged. And a lot of people need to be opposed. So whichever, if you don't know, just pray the Lord's will be done. But Joe Biden needs to be prayed for. President Trump and the Trump family need to be prayed for as well. And there's China. Things are happening with China. Pray for Russia, for North and South Korea, for Australia and New Zealand and all around there. Do pray for Africa, for Europe, for South America and for Canada. And you know what? That's just a few that I can think on right now. Our world needs a lot of prayer. So don't forget as well to pray for people that would be suffering from this virus that's going around. I really think that's about that. There are a few other bits and pieces. I know there's still an awful element of suicide about Derry. They say it's the same any place with bridges. Please do pray for Derry. And don't be, I think I'd be about it. I don't know if Christy, I don't think I offered you one. I don't know if you ever saw one of those. It's a wee, like, behind the door thing of cults and false religions. I think it gives you a wee bit of information. But if you ever get the opportunity to speak to souls about Jesus, take it. Even if all that you can say is, look, I got saved, I'm in church, I'm enjoying my life, and I'm reading my Bible, and it's making a difference to me. Even if that's all that you say to someone, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Be ready to tell folks about Jesus. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Now, after me chatting, does anybody have any other prayer requests? Anything that you...
Naomi's aunt, Beth's passed away.
Naomi...
That's it.
All right.
Lydia's had her baby, thankfully. The girl, she took COVID-19. She's had her baby.
Both well.
Healthy and well. Good. Yeah. They're a wee Christian couple too. So it's good.
Grand job. There was something else I know. Not thanks, but Christy's not going to say, but do pray for Christy. He's winding up his PhD in the very near future. At least I think he's hoping to be winding up his PhD in the very near future. Please do continue to pray for him, if you would. I know there's a lot of work involved, and I only know a little bit of what has been involved, but with that and everything else that's going on with preparing a service a week and planning to, Lord willing, weather permitting, etc., travel, etc., get married in May. So please do pray for Christy as he gets his ducks in a row. Amen. I think that's about that. I'm thankfully keeping improving, and long may that continue. Appreciate all of your prayers. Just keep praying for each other. Christy, would you mind leading us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, please?
This day, for your goodness, Lord, for your word, Lord, for the words of you, Lord, that's on the preacher's heart this morning. I ask and pray a blessing upon those of preservation of the thoughts, Lord, and the words that you need him to speak to us this morning, Lord, that you'd open the hearts and minds amongst us, that you'd minister to each need here, Lord, please. Light a fire and those of us that need a bit of fire, Lord, and Lord, just give guidance to each one, guide us in your will and in your way, Father, please. please be with those that will listen in, Lord, as well. I pray that you meet their needs and their envy. Any listening, Lord, that needs salvation, we pray for them this morning, that this would be the day that they would meet Christ, Lord, and Him crucified and resurrected, please. Remember the McKay family as well, Lord, for every request spoken, Lord, for those that are absent, we think of Pat and Steve, Lord, for Nana, for Leonard, Lord, for the McMahon family, and for Frank and Lynn, Lord, as we watch over them as well. Please be with our brethren across the world, meet together in your name, guide me each Sunday school teacher, each choir leader, Lord, each preacher that's proclaiming your word and leading in your service. Lord, that you bless each hearer of your words this morning as well. Accomplish your will. Be with our word leaders, Lord. Remember our missionaries at this time as well. Protect Israel, Lord, and continue to be a shine a light through her to the world as well. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right. Thank you, brother. Let's sing a song. Find them. Here we go. Hymn number 150. 150 in the big book. My faith is found resting place. It's a quarter two already. I've been enjoying the service, but I don't think we've sung enough songs just yet before we open our Bibles. So if you turn to 349, and we'll stand one more time as we sing The Comforter Has Come. Hymn number 349.
Put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out at the book of Leviticus, if you'd like to take and turn there this morning. The book of Leviticus, chapter 21. Book of Leviticus, chapter 21. We're going to begin reading at verse number 16. Leviticus 21, beginning at verse number 16. Amen. Thank you for the Bible reading and the prayers, for your attendance and your attention this morning, and also for your prayers, not just the ones that have been and gone, but the ones that are to come. We need them all. The days have not grown better or nicer. They have grown darker and more wicked, and we certainly do not need less time, fellowship, and in God's word we need more. Amen. Good to have you here. Leviticus 21, beginning at verse number 16, the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach, a blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of his seed, of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy, only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them." And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his sons, and to all the children of Israel. Amen. I'm going to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of perfection. And it's quite interesting that the reading that Norman brought us had a few, I think it finished off with, "Be ye perfect even as your God in heaven is perfect." And of course, one of the songs that we were singing brought a similar sentiment. They weren't chosen on purpose. If anybody knows me, they were chosen because I thought they sounded good. The titles did. That is just an added wee blessing, as they say. But amen. We're speaking on perfection, and we'll have another wee word of prayer. Well, would you be okay to lead us, brother, if you would?
Father, I come to say, Lord, and thank you for giving us strength and wealth and the body and health to come into the press today, Lord. And Lord, grip us also when all those that are come together in Bible believing Christian schools, churches, and get together, tabernacles, etc., Lord. Grip them also, Lord, and let the Spirit be abundant, Lord, among the people that are saved, Lord. And also to convict those that are unsaved in the congregation, affect the world as well, Lord. Lord, grip the persecuted church, bless them and keep them and give them strength, Lord, and give them the wherewithal and the strength and the blessings, Lord, to keep them on going, Lord, and to be fully serving thee and to be tried for their conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grip them also, Lord. Grip the organization we support, grip the recent National Open Doors, Kitchener Schools, Christian Institute, and all organizations that are throughout the world that are trying to promote the cause of Christ throughout the world and to reach those that are lost. Lord, bless them and keep, Lord, and fill up their coffers, Lord, bless them and give a touch of spirit to those workers as well. pray for the people that are here today, Lord, but Father, Lord, give them much strength, Lord, and bless them and keep them, provide for them, bless them in the Malaysia matters, Lord. But Frank and I, but thing is, she's, suffice them, provide for them, Lord, and bless her, but Mr. Oxford, as she separates herself. Lord, but Frank, Lord, give them strength, Lord, protect them from COVID-19, Lord, and give them blessing, Lord, and Mr. Oxford, on them, give them joy and mercy, that she's alone, Lord, and keep them well and safe, Lord. With the Ram family, lift them off their sins, Lord, and bring them to the faithful cross, Lord, and provide for them and keep them also, Lord. With Esther, Lord, provide for her, keep her, and give her skin condition, heal her, Lord, and her all conditions, Lord, also, Lord. And hopefully we'll see her face, Lord, soon, Lord. And Lord, bring her back into the church, Lord, and give her strength, and Lord, bless her, and Mr. Hunter also, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord, provide for them and keep them, Lord. And give Steve and his illness, Lord. And his, give him some sleep, Lord, and ease his pain, Lord. Give also Pat, Lord, bless her and keep her, Lord, as he ministers unto Steve, Lord, but also on the role of the firmness also, Lord. We'll stay, Lord, and give Mark a push this far, Lord, and try to teach us and reach out to us, Lord, and bring us closer to thee. For thy honour, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. 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 Verses 16 through 21 are our text. I'm not going to read them all again, because I think if you read them out in some places in the world today, I think a lot of people would have a conniption to think that God didn't want someone that broke a foot or a hand or had been out fighting the night before and got their nose flattened or busted or was a dwarf or all of that stuff, that God didn't want them in the Holy of Holies. People would have a fit. But here we see that God is quite literally telling the sons of Aaron, who were the ones that were going to be ministering in the Holy of Holies once a year, remember, but also going in and offering sacrifices, you need to be perfect. In the words of the song, it's got to be perfect. Isn't that what the song says? That's what the song says. That's what God wants. He wanted the mediator between the children of Israel and him to be perfect. Some of those instructions, and if you want to read even further back, I actually had the whole the whole of the chapter marked down, because it even goes so far as to give other people instruction. In fact, the man that was to be the mediator wasn't even allowed to perform sonly duties if a mother or father passed away. He couldn't approach the dead body. He couldn't go into a room with the dead body, because he needed to be ready to be the mediator between the people and God at all times, whenever it was his turn to be there. Always ready to offer those sacrifices. He always had to be ready. To the casual observer, that's to you and me, he had to be perfect. He had to be seen to be perfect. Now, that's a thing that we know in looking back, that it was only a type, it was an example of what Jesus Christ was going to come and bring thousands of years later, in that he was the perfect sacrifice for sin. And that's what many of God's laws were. And even today, I remember a missionary to the Jewish people coming and speaking in the church and explaining some of the old Jewish traditions. And as a Christian, listening to their Jewish traditions, you could see and understand Jesus Christ the Messiah in all of them. And it was just amazing. But because they have been had their minds darkened and been had their attention drawn away from the Christian Messiah, they're still looking for the Jewish Messiah, they can't see it. All of these things were to prepare people's hearts and minds to receive the real Messiah. And we do know, of course, as we have spent a few weeks here in the book of Matthew, we know that even though some of these men were very ardent for the Jewish faith, they were completely blinded whenever it came to the Jewish Messiah, even though he fulfilled so many. All in fact, of the prophecies and the things that people were told to look out for that would point a finger at Jesus. See, the thing about it is, God expects perfection. I am thankful that he provides it as well, if we'll let him, but he expects perfection. One of the verses that actually came to mind, as Norman was reading Matthew chapter 5, it stuck out to me because I knew I was going to be referring to it. It was in Matthew 5:20 where the Lord said to the people of Israel, he said, "Except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees," it says, "you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, I want just for a moment or two, I want for us to think about what the New Testament, what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, first of all, they would go to great lengths, to find disciples. Now, I know the Lord said, and then you make them twice the son of the devil that you are themselves, but they still went to great lengths to find the right man to be their disciple. They had this zeal, not according to knowledge, but they had this zeal. They would walk, they would make broad their phylacteries, and they would walk around with little boxes of scripture, little portions of scripture tied to their garments. They were so zealous about tithing that, and I am sure it was the bane of many a Pharisee's wife, they would even go into the wives' cupboards and they would measure out a tenth of their cumin or their turmeric or whatever other herbs. I'm stuck at that, cumin and turmeric and cumin and salt and pepper. They would measure out a tenth and they would bring it to show their dedication. They were raised up in the faith. Didn't have to worry about the internet or being radicalized by some jihadist who happened to catch them on the internet. They were raised up in the Jewish faith. They were raised up in Genesis right through to Malachi. They knew the prophecies about the Messiah. They knew the history from Noah. They knew all of that. They were taught in Leviticus, I'm sure they could recite it backwards. And even though the command that God gave to his people were for the rulers of the land to write out their own copy of the books of the law, I am sure they could repeat it. They could probably recite huge amounts of it from memory and knew the general rule of thumb about any of God's commands. They were zealous. We know many times that they zealously guarded the Sabbath. Isn't that right? Because the number of times that the Lord released people from demons, from sicknesses, from ailments, from feelings in their bodies on the Sabbath day, and they freaked out because here's this man and he's breaking the Sabbath. We know they were zealous. We know that they were pointed in the right direction, albeit, well, they were pointed in some direction. We know it wasn't the right direction, but the Lord said, unless you're better than them, unless you're more zealous than these men, you're not getting into heaven. And nobody was, because it was the work of a lifetime, and even then, they were getting it wrong. They weren't good enough. God can't take any sin. Sorry, not can't. He won't have any sin in heaven. If you were to skip right the way to the back of the Bible, it talks about the sins that are not getting into heaven. Liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers. Not getting in. The last chapter, last couple of chapters in Revelation. Not getting in. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 gives us a little bit of an excerpt of a letter that Paul sent to this church that was pretty much going off the rails, and he read them the riot act of things that, of people that weren't getting in. He says, liars, thieves, murderers, homosexuals, effeminate, all of this, he says, you're not getting into the kingdom of heaven. They're not. And he said, and you were like, some of you were like that, and such were some of you, but you were washed, justified, and sanctified by what? The Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful that he provides us that perfection. God can't have any sin in heaven. He won't. He's put his foot down. He's drawn a line in the sand. Won't even have the notion of sin in heaven. Because, as Norman was reading in Matthew chapter 5, it's not the doing of sins that marks you as a sinner. It's the creation. Is that the right word? The considering of them. Remember the wee verse? And it's one of those verses that's... it's well worth remembering, where it says, if you kill someone, you remember the Old Testament law, the Old Testament commandment, thou shalt not kill, and if you kill someone, your life's forfeit, you're in danger of judgment. The Lord said, if you're even angry with someone without a cause, you're in danger of the very same judgment. That's the measure of sin that's in our hearts. It's what goes on in our hearts, even to look on someone, to lust after them in our hearts. He said, that's a sin. God says, even folks like that's not getting into heaven. But that's all of us. How do we get there? Without Christ to save us, without his sacrifice, we're lost. And we're lost without a hope. It's a really sad indictment of the way things are right now, because the one person that can make the whole difference in people's lives is the one person that people run 100 miles at 100 miles an hour to get away from. This Jesus Christ. We need a lot of help to exceed the level of the most religious, zealous people in the world. We need a lot of help. In fact, isn't there one of the military arms in some country that take great pride in being the best of the best? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I've heard that said. We need to be the best of the best. We need divine intervention. We need that help, that perfect salvation that only God can provide. We need that perfect mediator. The mediator that has a foot in humanity, but also a foot in divinity. This Jesus Christ who became a man, not half man and half God, but fully man and fully God. Who can relate to us and yet draw us the whole way to heaven. We need that. We need the perfect sacrifice in that very same man, Jesus Christ, that shed blood for our sin. We need the perfect law. And I know sometimes if you ever get to reading the book of Leviticus, it can be dry reading, let me tell you. It's a little bit like one of those things you don't like in a salad sandwich, like a lettuce leaf. Not much taste to it. It adds a wee bit of crunch, but you really look forward to the cheese and the tomato and the egg and the wee slice of ham or chicken or roast beef and the bread. So that's why I chop and take a bite of all the different portions of the scripture. But Leviticus is dry going. But we need that too, because it's a perfect teacher. It shows us we need help. I think it was one of the things that maybe was greatly imposed upon me whenever I was in secondary school. I would have been between 11 and 13. I had an old math teacher, and he was as stern as all get out. And he was crusty, and nobody dared cross him or cheek him or anything like that. But I don't remember much of what he taught me, but I do remember this one thing that he used to say: if you ever need help, ask me. If you have trouble with your mathematics, come to me. And I will show you, because I'm a maths teacher and that's my job. If you need a perfect teacher, go to the law. Go to the Bible. And it will teach you that you need a saviour. You look around you. Even consider looking around our history. And you will find example after example of the difference not following God makes to a life. You think of Germany during the Second World War and on the run up to it. Same things are happening in America right now. They used to say they might happen or could happen, but they are happening in America right now. Because one man, one very charismatic man, didn't believe in God and trusted in evolution and in the Catholic Church and got their full backing. 6 million Jewish souls went up into, sadly, maybe mostly a Christless eternity, simply because one man, using a whole lot of bad religion and poor science, taught that they were subhuman, and it wasn't a sin, and it wasn't a crime to kill them. We look in Russia and we see exactly the same thing whenever the likes of Stalin did that, killed millions of his own people. We see that happening in China today. We see that, the rumblings of it happening, would you believe, in America today. There are, I couldn't believe my ears. I was watching a news broadcast and some of the liberals were thinking about drone strikes on people that didn't agree with the incumbent president and their very liberal politics. In America, that's what they were floating on TV. And that's how it always starts. We need Jesus. And we need Jesus not just in church, we need him in every sphere of our lives. That's why they took the Ten Commandments down from so many schools and so many law courts. Because the Ten Commandments means that even the policemen are guilty. The judges are guilty. The Sunday school lessons are the... Does anyone here ever remember going to primary school and singing hymns and getting a wee Bible reading? Before you go into even your first lesson and then a wee prayer. I remember that. Didn't do that now. Well, in a lot of places they don't do that. We need Jesus. All the things that men have tried to do, the Word of God, and as we were speaking in Revelation, tells us that false religion, the last verse in Revelation 18, false religion, at her feet lie the blood of all the slain of all the earth. At the feet of false religion, at the feet of the wrong things that people believe, and the things that justify people taking other people's lives for personal profit. In Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, it's a little bit like Psalms. You know, is it Psalm 13 and Psalm 52, is it, where it says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16 tell us that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are what? Are the ways of death. We have these grand ideas. The things that men have done in the pursuit of heaven, trying to work their way there, and all the gods that they have worshipped, has brought awful things in the face of this earth. So here we are, imperfect creatures. So what do we do? Do we depend on other imperfect plans from other imperfect creatures to save our lives in a perfect eternity? Of course we can't. It hasn't worked for 6,000 years. It's not going to start magically working whenever men are more ignorant and more given over to their own feelings and thoughts and thrills and experience instead of thinking. Goodness, for all of the technology and knowledge at our fingertips, our smart devices, we have literally become the dumbest generation of mankind in the face of this earth. We are imperfect. So what did Jesus do? What did God do? He organized for us to have his perfection, did he not? Of course he did. That's on your account, Christian, right now. You have Christ's perfection waiting for you. Does anyone remember the accounts of Christ's crucifixion? The things that were done to him. He was beaten and slapped and punched. They said they whipped his face with reeds and they plucked off his beard. I tried that one time, right? I tried pulling off. Chris, do you ever pluck a hair off your beard, Christy? One that's maybe sticking up or annoying you, and it feels as sore as all get out. And some, depending on where, did you ever do it? Well, sometimes you even feel a wee tear coming to your eye if you just get one of those awkward ones. So I thought, you know what? I grabbed a handful of them and I pulled, and there's a big lump of skin comes. It sort of wants to go with it. But I managed to pull three or four off after gritting my teeth, and I thought, you know what? I'll try it with my Leatherman. So I got the Leatherman and got a whole pile, and I started to pull, and I thought, well, that doesn't feel good. I'd actually pulled a bit of skin. I had to cover that up in a hurry. But they grabbed the Lord's beard and whipped chunks of it off. They beat the tar out of him. They whipped him. The scourging that they gave him was enough to kill many men that went to the cross. And then to top it all off, they jam a crown of thorns upon his head. And then they use these huge spikes into his hands and his feet. And just to put the tin hat on it all, they stuck a huge spear up into his side to make sure that he was dead. Bible says he was beaten bloody and unrecognizable. His face was more marred than any man. And yet, whenever he came back, the only marks on him were the marks in his hands and his feet and in his side, the marks of the crucifixion. He was perfected and glorified, and it's one of those, we'll not call it a contradiction, but it's one of those things in the Bible where he promises us that trust him as Savior, his perfection. And he gets the marks of our sin for the endless ages of eternity. He gives us his perfection. See us, from the day that Eve stood looking at the tree, listening to the serpent, and got beguiled by her, and Adam said, well, I want to be with her. I'm going to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I'm going to blame the woman that God made, and I know she'll blame the serpent, etc. We've had a death sentence upon us. Oh, we weren't all struck dead by sin, but we've been dying ever since. So God gave us his eternal life. And it's not ours automatically, it's ours when we accept it. All of these things. Do you remember that old sin nature? You know the old the old sin nature that we all have right now? The one that goes like that there whenever we hit upon our favourite sin. Who do you think you are telling me that? Hey, these things are speaking to me too. I am being faithful in my delivery. It doesn't mean they don't hit home with me as well. We have inherited a sin nature. So what did Jesus do? He gave us his nature. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's ours forever. We have a choice. We are not subject to our feelings anymore. We're not subject to sensation. We're not subject to what everybody else says. We have an option. We can do all of those things, or we can do what Jesus says. And we have the power to do it too. Our selfish and rebellious natures have accrued a huge debt to God. Huge debt. If we were to add up all of our sinful thoughts, they would greatly outnumber our sinful deeds, because let's be honest, the only reason most people don't lie and cheat and steal and kill and sleep around the country more is because they're afraid of being caught, afraid of the consequences, but we still entertain it up here. And if you remember from earlier on where Norman was reading and we referred back to, that's where God's got the measuring tape out, and that's where he's counting from. We owe God big time. Even for the breaking of the least of God's commandments, it says we're guilty of it all. So what did God do? He put the full amount on his account. He paid with it all, paid for it all with his shed blood. We're faithless. Even, do you remember even Peter and Thomas And the disciples that saw him raising the dead and making meals for 10 or 15,000 a couple of times out of a couple of packed lunches and casting demons out and growing people's arms and legs back, they were still faithless and still unbelieving. We're going to die in the storm. He says, what's the score? I'm here. We're faithless. And you know what else we are? We're conveniently forgetful. Have you ever noticed that? It's for God to blink at sin, not for us. We're to keep our eyes wide open and well away from it. But God is not faithless and God is not forgetful. He will forget one thing. He'll forget our sins forever when we trust him as our Saviour. But he'll never forget us. He keeps us in the palm of his hand and he'll never let us go. And he'll never throw us away. He's not going to chew us up like so many of the things out in the world that people worship, and then whenever the flavour's gone, he's not going to do that to us. He loves us. We're precious to him. And still, even as Christians, we lie and cheat and steal and commit all manner of immorality and rebel all the live long day. And the hideous price of all of that sin is too much for us. But it was paid to the uttermost by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And to show us that there is a life beyond sin, what did Jesus go and do? The one thing that mankind thought he would never do, could never do, never even considered. He raised himself from the dead the third day. And showed himself alive by many infallible proofs to over, I think it was what, over 500 people. He ate with people, people touched him, they hugged him after he had gone up to heaven. They broiled fish in a honeycomb, wasn't it, whenever he appeared in the midst of them. And then whenever he was just about to forgive Peter, he had a barbecue going on the seashore, and he invited the disciples to join him. Alive after many infallible proofs. The one thing that no other religion on this world has ever been able to do is to get their founder raised from the dead. But that's not a problem to the man that controls life and death. And then what did he do? He went alive up into heaven. To sit at the right hand of God. And you know what? He's still not done. You would think after dealing with yours and even one person's sins that that would be enough to weary anybody, even God Almighty. But even now he sits interceding at the right hand of God for you and me. For all the times we let him down still. He loves us to bits. And he's given us so much. And he wants to continue giving us. Someday we'll walk the streets of gold in heaven. And it's not just a wee fairy tale. If you read the last few chapters of Revelation, you can read about the construction of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It's something like, has anyone ever watched Star Trek? It's like a Borg cube about 1,200 miles on a side. That's huge. You're going to be able to see that easily from orbit. In fact, the end of it will probably stick right up into space. We're going to be with God forever someday. We will never be separated from him. We'll never have to fuss with that old sin nature again. All because he loved us, suffered that separation from his Father for us on the cross. See every failure, every sin, every shortcoming. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in the forgiving, forgetting, cleansing, and overcoming of them for you and me. Even right now. We're not perfect, and we have this conflict going on in us. But until the day that we stand in heaven, complete and glorified, like Jesus, remember the Bible says, when we see him, we'll be like him. We have the ability we have the company. We have the power to overcome every single sin that comes our way. And whenever life's over, a complete regeneration. Sin nature, given the flick at long last. No more scraps over who does the dishes, or who gets the biggest, thickest piece of steak, or whether I'm allowed crisps this week. No more fighting or guiling because we'll be perfect. And not because of anything that we did, but because of everything that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And I know sometimes the promise of our meeting Christ in the air, or maybe going to meet him in heaven, they seem to be distant, fairy tale, once upon a time statements, promises. But believe you me, friends, they are as close as your next breath, or as the Word of God says, as close as the twinkling of an eye away. And then someday, that day, all those that have trusted in Jesus Christ will be made perfect. There's ones gone before us and they're standing in heaven, looking down on us, watching over us, seeing what we're going to do, cheering us on, having a party every time somebody decides to choose Christ as their Savior and turns their back on the world. Until that day, friends, we can turn our eyes on Jesus, keep ourselves in the straight and narrow, and take advantage of every promise, every gift that God has there for us, if we'll just turn up, if we'll just be there. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Amen. All right, let's see. I was going to sing Blessed Quietness, but that doesn't seem like a good one to finish on. How's about hymn number 30? Hymn number 30 in the books, Nothing But the Blood. We'll stand as we sing, and then we will be dismissed.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the gold that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus for my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the foe that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Hope you have a good Lord's Day. Doors will be open again at 7 o'clock, give or take. And amen. Look forward to seeing you when we see you. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence around your word, lifting up your praises. And Lord, just for the opportunity to bring before you the names of so many. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant our prayer requests and petitions, private and public. After our brothers and sisters across the world, spare those, Lord, divinely protect them in provision, and Lord, please save lost souls. Bless us as we part company and go our separate ways. Thank you again for loving us, Lord, and for your Son. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. Shake hands. Tip.